Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the place that takes complex stuff, research papers, dense notes, you name it, and finds those really crucial, surprising nuggets for you. Our mission, basically give you the shortcut to being properly informed without all the overwhelm. Today, we're diving into a really fascinating bit of mathematics. It helps us understand how randomness, what scientists often call noise, acts in, well, two quite different physical systems.
Yeah, we're looking at a research paper comparing two key types of equations, the stochastic nonlinear wave equation, SNLW for short, and the stochastic nonlinear heat equation, or SNLH. You can think of these as like mathematical models for things like maybe how waves travel when there's random wind, or how heat spreads in a material with its own sort of random jitter.
Right, and the core question the paper tackles is this. When that randomness, that noise, gets really, really intense, do these equations, the wave one and the heat one, still behave in similar ways? Can we actually use the same mathematical tools to understand them when things get, you know, super rough? And here's the spoiler right up front. The paper gives a pretty clear no. It turns out they behave quite differently when the randomness really ramps up. So this deep dive is all about unpacking why that is. Let's get into it. Okay, so at the heart of this are partial differential equations, PDEs. Think of them as the language for describing continuous change, like temperature spreading or a wave moving.
Exactly.
Now, add a random element, a stochastic bit noise, and you get a stochastic PDE or SPDE. It's like adding static to a smooth picture.
And what makes an SPDE singular? Well, that's when the noise isn't just a gentle background hum. It's really rough. Maybe wild is a better word. Extremely unpredictable. When it gets that intense, our standard mathematical method, the usual ways we find solutions, they just stop working. It's like trying to untangle a super fine knot wearing, I don't know, thick gloves. You need totally new tools. And in this paper, this roughness is measured by a parameter, alpha os. Higher alpha means rougher noise.
Right. And this leads to the idea of well-posedness, which is super important, right?
Yeah.
For an equation to be useful, we need to know a few things. Like, does a solution even exist? Is there an answer? Is it unique? You always get the same outcome from the same start.
Yes, exactly.
And does it behave predictably? So if you nudge the starting point just a tiny bit, does the result also change just a tiny bit, or does it fly off somewhere completely different?
Mm-hmm. If it fails on those points, we call it ill-posed. And that's a big problem if you want to actually predict anything.
Got it.
So the two specific equations we're focusing on are the 2D stochastic nonlinear wave equation, SNLW, and the 2D stochastic nonlinear heat equation, SNLH. Both have what's called a quadratic nonlinearity, basically a U-squared term, meaning effects grow faster as the thing itself gets bigger. And crucially, they're both driven by something called a fractional derivative of space-time white noise.
Okay, that sounds intense. What does that mean in simpler terms?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. But think of it not just as random bumps here and there, but like a constant, really energetic storm of randomness happening everywhere in space and time simultaneously. It's very, very rough noise.
Oh, okay, I think I follow. So with that setup, let's look at the first one.
Hi.
The wave equation, SNLW. The paper finds a really sharp cutoff point. Alpha equals 1/2.
Yes, alpha 12. That's the critical threshold. It's where the SNLW hits a wall, essentially. For any alpha value greater than or equal to 12, the equation becomes ill-posed, full stop. Mm-hmm. The standard solution methods, things like the DiPrato-Debusch trick and its variations, they can't handle it. They break down.
And why do they break down?
Well, the paper points to something called the second-order stochastic term. It's a more complex part of the random influence, kind of built from the basic noise interacting with itself. Imagine the initial noise, the basic randomness, is like iFi. This term involves IV interacting with itself, creating something more complex. And the problem is, this second-order term, it starts being a continuous function. Mathematically, its basic building blocks, like its Fourier coefficients, actually diverge.
Diverge. So they just shoot off towards infinity. They become unmeasurable.
Exactly that. They become unboundedly large. It's like trying to measure something that just keeps growing without limit. You can't pin it down. And this breakdown, particularly for waves, often comes from something called high-to-low energy transfer.
Okay.
Think of it like this. You have lots of fast, small, random wiggles, high-frequency noise. Normally, you'd expect them to mostly cancel out, but here, because of the way the equation works, those fast wiggles can interact in just the wrong way to create large, slow, problematic movements, low-frequency behavior.
Yeah, like tiny vibrations causing a big, slow wobble.
Precisely. It's a kind of internal instability triggered by the roughness of the noise.
Okay, that makes sense why it breaks down. But you mentioned something surprising. Even though it hits this wall at Onticelli N12, The wave equation has some kind of hidden help.
It does, and this is really key. It's called multilinear smoothing.
Multilinear smoothing.
Yes. Unlike heat equations, wave equations inherently oscillate, right? They go up and down. This back and forth nature provides a kind of extra smoothing effect. It acts particularly on that problematic second order stochastic term we just talked about. It's like the wave's own nature gives it a bit of a shock absorber against the noise. The paper quantifies this extra smoothing as being of order 14.
Okay, an extra 14 order of smoothing. So what does that do practically? Does it make the equation well posed for longer?
Well, that's the interesting part. It helps, but not enough to change the final breakdown point. What it does do is make proving well-posedness easier for alpha values below 12. So in the range 0-12, this smoothing simplifies the math. It allows certain techniques, like the de Prado-Debouche trick, to work for a wider range of alpha, specifically for 13 up to 12.
Oh, okay.
Or, looking at it another way, for other more advanced techniques, it means you need less extra information about the noise structure, fewer what they call enhanced data sets.
But crucially, it doesn't push past that alpha 12 barrier.
Exactly. It helps manage the noise better within the safe zone, but it can't prevent the ultimate breakdown when alpha hits 12. The wall is still there.
Right. Okay, so that's the wave story. Now, let's switch gears. What about the heat equation, the SNLH? Does it face the same fate at alpha 12?
No, and this is the really striking contrast. The heat equation is more resilient in this specific sense. It actually remains locally well-posed all the way up to alpha 1.
All the way to 1.
Yep.
So it handles rougher noise than the wave equation.
Yes, significantly rougher in this context. It only becomes ill-posed when alpha is greater than or equal to 1. And the reason then is similar, that second order stochastic term eventually becomes too rough to handle.
Huh. But wait, you said earlier some part of the heat equation also breaks down at alpha 12.
I did, and this is where it gets subtle and really interesting. There's a term called the wick power, essentially. It's like the square of the basic noise, S, properly defined, so S squared. For both the wave and the heat equation, this S squared term becomes problematic. It diverges right at alpha equal 12.
Right.
But, and this is the key difference for the heat equation, even though S squared breaks down at 12, the second order term built from it, let's call it SEG, still makes mathematical sense.
Oh.
It remains well-defined and manageable in that range between 12 and 1. It's like one component fails, but the overall structure derived from it holds together longer.
Whereas for the wave equation?
For the wave equation, when S squared breaks down at 12, the corresponding second order term, S also breaks down right there. Both fail simultaneously.
That's a huge difference in behavior.
It really is. It shows a fundamental difference in how these systems cope with that intense noise structure.
And just to be clear, the heat equation doesn't get that multilinear smoothing benefit that the wave equation had.
Correct. No such luck for heat equations. That kind of extra smoothing just isn't a feature of what we call parabolic systems, the category heat equations fall into. They have a different kind of robustness, perhaps, but they don't get that specific oscillatory smoothing advantage.
Okay, so we have these two different breakdown points, 12 for waves, 1 for heat. How does this relate to what mathematicians might have expected? You mentioned scaling analysis earlier.
Right. So often mathematicians use something called scaling analysis as a first guess for where things might become critical. It's a way to estimate how terms in the equation behave as you zoom in or out, essentially. For the SNLW, scaling analysis predicts the critical value for alpha should be 34.
34,
right.
But it actually breaks at 12.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the SNLH, scaling predicts the critical alpha should be 2.
But it breaks at 1. So in both cases, they're failing earlier than this initial scaling analysis suggests. Why the gap?
That's really the core insight of the paper. The reason for this discrepancy, this earlier breakdown, seems to be the combination of using very rough noise, combined with what are called low-degree nonlinearities, like our U-squared term, which isn't super complicated, in low dimensions, like the 2D space we're considering.
Okay, so that specific combination is the issue.
It seems so. The standard scaling analysis tends to smooth over or average out some of the finer interactions. But in these specific conditions, very rough noise, simple nonlinearity, low dimensions, those interactions become much more critical. The more precise calculations looking at things like Fourier coefficients and that high to low energy transfer we talked about reveal these divergences happening sooner than the simpler scaling picture would suggest.
So the devil's really in the details when the noise gets rough enough.
You could say that. It tells us our simpler models sometimes miss crucial effects in these extreme regimes. And the implications are pretty broad. This research really highlights the limits of our current theories for solving these kinds of singular SBDEs. It strongly suggests that similar gaps between scaling predictions and actual behavior might pop up in other complex systems too. The paper mentions the nonlinear Schrödinger equation as another potential candidate, especially if you're dealing with rough random initial conditions instead of noise driving the equation over time. It's pushing us to refine our tools.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for someone listening? We've dived pretty deep into the math here.
Mm-hmm.
It seems we've learned that even for really fundamental processes like waves and heat, how they handle extreme randomness is, well, fundamentally different. The wave world gets that little bit of help from multilinear smoothing, but still hits a surprisingly early limit.
Right.
While the heat world lacks that specific smoothing, but shows this unexpected resilience, holding together even when some of its basic components start to break down.
Exactly. And understanding why they differ, looking at these precise mathematical mechanisms, like the behavior of the second order terms, helps us grasp the fundamental nature of these complex systems much better. It's not just abstract math. It pushes the boundaries of how we can model and predict things in the real world, where randomness is everywhere.
So here's a final thought for you to maybe chew on. Next time you encounter a situation driven by a lot of noise or randomness, maybe it's financial markets, maybe it's weather patterns, maybe something else entirely else. Ask yourself, does this feel more like a wave, oscillating but hitting a sharp limit? Or more like heat, diffusing and maybe showing a more gradual, resilient response, even if parts seem chaotic? And what hidden thresholds, what subtle mathematical rules like the ones we discussed today, might actually be controlling its behavior underneath the surface?